Dear Saints, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Saints, if your Jesus does not die, if your Jesus is not mocked and spat upon, if your Jesus is not forsaken by God the Father, if your Jesus does not proclaim to you that it is finished, if he is not dead and buried with a tomb that he did not own himself, if he is not raised from the dead, and if he does not ascend to the Father, you do not get the Holy Spirit. And that, dear saints, is a big deal. Listen to this. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." And Jesus in the Gospel of John, he's often talking about going away, going to the Father. And this is just short-term language for his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. Jesus says, "It is to your advantage that I do these things. I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And that is a big deal. Dear Saints, the Holy Spirit comes to you. He comes to you now, today. And his goal is always three things, Jesus says. And if you can remember just these three things today or sometime this week, then I think our work has been accomplished. The Holy Spirit comes to you to convict you concerning three things, to declare to you concerning three things. That is, he comes convicting you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Concerning sin, Jesus says, this is verse 9 in John chapter 16. Jesus says, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Now, when you first hear this, I wonder if your first thought is my first thought, that we actually probably don't need the Holy Spirit all that much to convict us concerning sin. We know what sin is, don't we? We know that rape is evil. We know that murder is wrong. We know that gossip gets us into trouble. We know these things. Why in the world, dear saints, do we need the Holy Spirit to convict us concerning these things? And the reason is, dear saints, is that we realize where these things come from. We know the obvious sins. We do. We don't need the Holy Spirit for this. But we do need us. We do need him to teach us where it comes from. That it comes. Your sin. Every sin in which you commit, every sin in which I commit, it springs from a dirty heart. It springs from a heart that does not believe in God the way it should. That is why when your Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit's work, he says concerning sin, and he doesn't go on to say because they're mean to each other, because they talk bad about each other. He says concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. That is the source of every sin that anyone in this world has ever committed. We are all by nature dead inside. I think it was this week I saw this on the news. This was crazy. There was a cop that pulled someone over in Charlotte. And as he was getting ready to take the driver's license and the insurance, a tree fell on the car of the person that he was pulling over. Now, no one was hurt, not the person that was in the car, not the cop that was pulling the guy over, but this tree just fell right on that car. And the tree looked fine. It was brown on the outside. It had leaves springing forth from the inside, but it had leaves springing forth from the branches. It looked beautiful. It looked fine, but the inside was rotting. Without warning, it just fell over. I think I look fine. And I think you do too. But inside, dear saints, inside where only the Lord can see. And maybe you see it too sometimes. We are all dying. But that is not the end for you, dear saints. That is the end of the story for those who do not believe in Jesus. They are all dead by nature. And only Jesus can take what is dead by nature and give it life. And that is what he has done for you. You are not just dead inside. For you, dear saints, are connected to the vine. And the vine is living. And it is active. And it is giving you life. The further and further away that we get from the vine, the more we need to be pruned back. Because the further away that we get from the vine, the more we realize we are dead. So this is why the Holy Spirit comes to us today, convicting us concerning sin. Our sin springs forth from unbelief. We do not believe in God. We do not fear God. We do not love God as we should. Take, for example, anger. This is from our epistle reading. And judging by the amens and the nods and the mm-hmms, I think it hit you as much as it hit me. James chapter 1, starting at verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Your anger, dear saints, cannot make others right before God. Your anger, dear saints, does it ever produce anything? Yeah. Does it produce results? Probably not the ones you wanted. Does it produce damage to you? Does your anger often make you more angry? Does your anger often make others more angry? Does your anger harm you and harm others? Does your anger make you look foolish and make others look foolish along with it? What, dear saints, does your anger produce? It does not produce the righteousness of God. It cannot. So therefore, we are called to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And all of this, this sin of anger that we have, it springs forth from an unbelief in God. It springs forth from an unbelief in which we don't think that God is just. We don't think that God understands that person, that he's not going to get what he deserves. He is just. And that is called, when we believe that, that is called faith. And he is also the justifier. Because do you know what he wants to do to be just? He wants to take everything in which you deserve, everything in which that person deserves, and he wants to pour it all on his son and make him die so that that person and you are righteous in his sight. The Bible not only calls God just, It also calls him the justifier, the one who makes right, the one who makes you right before him, even though you have been angry, even though you have been quick to anger and slow to listen and slow to understand and slow to bear one another's burdens for the love of Christ. The second thing in which the Holy Spirit does is he convicts concerning righteousness. Verse 10. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is often saying, where I am going, you cannot come. And what he means by that is that what he is about to accomplish, you cannot do. You cannot overcome your sin. You cannot duke it out with Satan. You cannot win the battle against this world or against death. Where Jesus is going, you cannot come. What he is about to do, you cannot do. But he does it for you. He does it all. He goes to the Father and he comes to you declaring you righteous. The Holy Spirit's work is to take what is Jesus's and declare it to you. Your Jesus is pure and innocent. But hearing that isn't the gospel. Hearing that the Holy Spirit takes Jesus' purity and his holiness and his righteousness, and he takes it and he pours it out to you and says, this is you. You are holy. You are righteous. You, dear saints, love God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul because your Jesus has done it for you. And the Holy Spirit takes what is Jesus's and declares it to you. That is sweet to hear. And the third thing, verse 10, concerning righteousness. Verse 11, concerning judgment. Because the ruler of this world is judged. When you look around this world, when you look around the life that you have, do you ever wonder who's in charge here? We see bodies falling apart, and families breaking up, and friendships falling apart. We see people standing in complete opposition to the will of God, being proud of it. We see governments tolerating evil rather than punishing evil and rewarding the good. We see disease and cancer. We see guilt. We see anxiety and depression. And I think we have to ask ourselves, who in the world is in charge of this place? And the answer is, in part, the devil. That is what he is called, is he not? He is called the ruler of this world. But for your peace, dear saints, your Jesus says that he is not in charge. Satan isn't. Because the ruler of this world is judged. He will lose. Death will lose. Evil will lose. Evil does not have the final say in this world. The evil that you have in your bodies, in your souls, in your emotions, in your families. It is judged. It has a judge. It will meet its end. It will lose. There is more power in one finger of your God than of the entire body of the ruler of this world. And so it's important to know that if he is the judge, then what does he think of me? He thinks you're a sinner concerning sin. He thinks that you are righteous because your Jesus goes before you with your sin and declares you so. And he tells you not to fear, because the ruler of this world is judged. May that bring us peace until we are taken out of this world to be with our Father. Amen.